out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 413. This is the bite-sized edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Hopefully you are having a fantastic week. This is the beginning of the week here for us, so hopefully you find out that everything's working out exactly the way it should be for you. We have a fun little show being put together here today. It's funny, every time I put together a show on Sundays, I'm reminded of why I don't do live shows on Sundays. It's not that I attempted to do one tonight, but I always, you know, after a really good session on a Wednesday, I'll always sit there and say, you know what, I should really try and do this on Sundays, because, you know, it's really kind of fun trying to put the whole thing together with everybody sitting around and, you know, commenting back and forth, and you sometimes get some new and interesting stuff that actually makes its way into the episode, and it's a different kind of experience. But every time Sunday rolls around, with all of the fun and everything that happens having a three-year-old run around your house for 2 days on the weekend, I'm reminded of why I don't do live shows on Sundays. And that's basically because now it's 1 a.m. right now, and I'm just finally settling in to actually record the Sunday edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. And the original reason the show was titled Bite-Sized was because I was probably going to put like three or four things on either side of the break in the middle of the podcast, some in Geek Cruft, some in food and caffeinated bits, and just call it a night because I was so tired. Well, fell asleep, woke up, and continued to do the show anyway. So I just found so much to actually put together and hopefully get up and out for you that I was like, you know what, I'm going to keep the name, but it's just kind of remind me, you know, I need to take smaller bites when it comes to taking on new projects. So we have a lot of really fun stuff to talk to you about here today. As always, all of the episodic content can be found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com in case you hadn't figured it out. All right, so if you have any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, please feel free to fire an email off to caffeination@gmail.com, or you can call our listener line at 215-240-1319. It's a direct-to-voicemail line, so feel free to leave whatever tomfoolery you'd like over there. We have a great amount of cool stuff to talk about here today, but before we did that, we did want to make mention of the sponsor for the Caffeination Podcast. The Caffeination is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. In the tough economic times that we're currently facing, companies, no matter how small or how large they are, need to find new ways to cut costs and smooth out their bottom line. That's why I personally recommend GoToMeeting. Their award-winning service, which is brought to you by Citrix, allows you to meet quickly and easily and seamlessly online. You save time and money in the process. No more driving to a short meeting, no more difficulties in collaboration due to your location. You're going to reduce travel costs and increase efficiency, and that's always good with meetings. Listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days, but you must visit www.goToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's www.goToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free 30-day trial. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination. They allow us to do all kinds of crazy and cool stuff. The other sponsor for the Caffeination is, as always, Puzzle Piece Productions, which is the away from home for the Caffeination staff. Basically, it's the design company, it's the consultancy firm that I've been running since 2002. It goes through different periods depending on how much free time I have and depending on how much wherewithal I have upstairs. It does different things. So we're ramping up for a new series of fun projects and everything, and I'd like to kind of point your eyes in the direction over to the fine blog/podcast over at Eagles Fan Cast.net. Chuck and the guys over there run a fantastic show, especially during the football season. They have a lot of really cool content that comes out. Well, I worked with Chuck recently to recreate the logo for the Eagles Fancast, and I just wanted to show you that it's finally made public. So this is two websites in the past month that have actually come out with new logos done by us. So we're kind of enthused about where this is going, and as soon as I can finish the redesign of the actual Puzzle Piece Pro .com website, then I will announce that as well, and then we're going to start taking new design clients and other stuff like that. I mean, as it is right now, if you have something you'd like me to work on, please feel free to let me know, but we want to make sure that we actually get this the new website up and running before I make the grand announcement that we're looking actively for new clients. So it's just one of the things. I'm really kind of happy with the way that this worked out, and it was a great discussion with Chuck over the course of actually creating their logo. ago. And I think the way in which it turned out actually turned out really, really fantastically. So if you're a football fan, specifically if you're a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles, head on over to EaglesFanCast.net to check that out. All right, we have a lot of crazy cool stuff here to go for in the Caffeination Podcast. We're going to dive right on headfirst into the meat and the potatoes here of the podcast. The first being the Geek Cruft section. Weather geeks of the world sense a warm front of awesome coming in, solar style. That's right, you now have a option when it comes to weather stations in your house. I personally, in my parents' house, they had one of those... the captain's thermometer things where it has, you know, the hydrometer, it has the barometer, and it has the temperature. The thermometer has it has pretty much all the important ometers that exist, and they all have you know, the tiny little clock faces that are set into a wood thing. My parents have this, and I've always really, really wanted one. Well, about a year and a half ago, I was helping a friend clean out a house of a neighbor that had passed away, and they said, pretty much anything you want in here you can take, and that's the only thing I really, really wanted. I was like, man, that's fantastic. They have one, and now it sits in the garage here so that I can always, you know, I have a baseline for when I'm doing my coffee roasting. So that's cool, and it's the reason that I like that kind of weather station is because it doesn't include a drain on the house. So it's not like I'm actually, you know, having something plugged in all the time. This goes beyond that because it takes all those fun little ometers and puts it in something completely new and different. So over at device.com, the fine folks over at Oregon Scientific have actually created a solar-powered weather station. This is something I've been kind of railing against for a while. It's like, it doesn't matter how awesome all the stuff that you have in your weather station is, if it's not solar powered, it's just not happening, if you know what I mean. So this is a fun new unit. It's either $49 or $82, depending on where you actually look. And the cool part about it is that it actually has a remote temperature sensor and monitor, and there's actually a battery pack that has the solar panel on it. So you put the battery pack in full-on direct sunlight for 6 hours, and it should recharge it enough for 2 months. There's a backup battery in the unit itself, so that you can actually continue to use it while it's actually recharging. And I just think this is really cool. I mean, I love having a weather station in the house. We actually have a small battery-powered one upstairs just for temperature. And I'm really kind of looking at this saying, you know what? This is pretty fantastic. So if they had a way for the remote temperature probe to also be the solar panels, then I think this would probably be the full-on epic win for a weather station. But as it is right now, this is a huge step in the right awesome direction. All right, next little thing we have up for you here. The future is here, but it's ugly and expensive. Jetpacks are out, and they're kind of meh. Meh is actually a real word. I actually have a link up to it in Wikipedia, but it kind of means an expression of... meh. it's a non-pulsed expression, or non-plussed, whichever the correct term there is. But basically, since these things are under 254 pounds, you don't need a pilot's license. You just need a hefty wallet, somewhere around the neighborhood of $75,000, and you too can have a 200 horsepower dual propeller flying machine. So it can go up to nearly 8,000 feet, cruises along at 16 miles an hour, and has a range of 30 miles on one tank of fuel. So as the crow flies, if I didn't have a wife to take with me, I could probably go back and forth to Temple, and everything would be fine. Hunky and or Dory. The only problem is you have to refuel it after every day. At least that would be for my commute. I have a roughly 15 or 16 mile commute. The problem would be if it only has a range of 30 miles and I have a 16 mile commute from where I am, then it means I'm going to be 2 miles short. So I don't think there's a gentle, graceful coasting period using this giant engine. So I'm pretty sure once the lift gives out, you're pretty much done for. So if you have the coin and you have the wherewithal, then you too can have your very own jetpack. I've always wanted flying cars. The problem is the future just doesn't seem to be getting here nearly as quickly as it should. All right, next little thing, science behind the movies. The Hurt Locker, is, you know, being that this is a... the night where the Academy Awards are doing. I personally don't care about them. I hate award shows. I don't know why that is. I'm not a big fan of TV in general, and award shows even less so. But beside that, it also kind of throws the light on a bunch of really interesting movies and the technology behind them. There's a whole bunch of interesting and cool blog posts that actually get put up there a lot. And The Hurt Locker is a movie that won, at least I think, something about screenplay, and maybe I don't know what the final total was. I came down here long before everything was over, but the cool thing about it is that it's a movie about the trials and tribulations of the bomb disposal unit in Iraq specifically, and the suits that they're wearing in there, this giant pillow-like suit, is basically the suit that they use when they're trying to defuse bombs. And you wonder exactly how is it useful? How does it work? Well, there's an awesome article over at Device.com that talks about the different things that are in the suit and how it actually functions, and that it takes care of the two different and specific things that happen when a bomb goes off. And it's not necessarily the shrapnel that kills you. More often than not, it's the shock wave. So it's pretty cool. The only thing they said, which is kind of not working in the movies, they said the guy moved around a little bit too easily. They said the suit is like trying to walk around with an anvil strapped between your legs. It's 60 to 70 pounds of extra material, including a cooling system and all other kinds of stuff that goes in there. So it's a really cool article, and they're talking about all the different stuff. And apparently, just because some of the men in the military are actually incredibly crazy, there is a record for a mile actually run in one of these suits. So you take the standard mile, and you're like, okay, well, how fast should somebody run it? Well, I know that if you're running a nice long extended race, you should be happy for around an 8-minute mile if you're running, and let's just say 5 or 6 miles. So if you average 8, you're doing pretty good. You're on your way. If you're trying to race and you're just running one single mile, when I was on track, I ran a 5 minute and 38 second mile for my fastest time ever. I'm long removed from that fastest time, but the fine folks in the Army are in much better shape than I ever was, and they can do a really good clip. I forget some of the times that my friends have told me about, but the record for actually running a mile in one of these suits is 9 minutes and 58 seconds flat. Now, when you take an extra 60 or 70 pounds and you strap it to your body, and you can still complete a mile in 9 minutes and 58 seconds, that's impressive beyond belief. So just wanted to share this little story, and hopefully you find it interesting. All right, next little article that we got coming up for you here is an awesome thing about a bleeding glacier. Apparently, there's a glacier called the Taylor Glacier that it has a bunch of biomatter that's been frozen into it from somewhere around 2 million years ago. So there's no word on what this biomatter was. It was probably, just from looking at it, it probably looks like an algae bloom or something that basically got laid down, started to grow, and then the act of glaciation worked over it, and other layers of frost appeared on top of it, and eventually kind of locked the whole thing down. So I just think this is awesome. It's from Antarctica, so it's basically a giant 5-story blood-red waterfall of primordial ooze. That's direct from over at geekolohi.com, where they're describing it. This is fascinating, and there of course there's plenty of different references to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and a whole bunch of other funny things that are out there. But I just love stuff like this. This is, you know, the wonder of nature along with like a crazy bit of science. So wouldn't it be funny if you saw like a T-Rex or something like that strapped into the ice halfway down into the vein? However, looking at the actual glacier, it looks more like it's just like a vein of algae or something like that. So it's pretty cool. All right, next little item we got for you here. Apple's apparently starting to crack down on the cookie cutter apps. Apple, this is a I'd say this is a double-edged sword for Apple. On the one hand, they tout the number of applications that are in their store, on the App Store for the iPhone and the iPod Touch. On the other hand, they're starting to crack down because they realize there's tons of what people would refer to as craplets. So they're basically tiny little bits of junk that float up on the store, and they weigh down the percentage of awesome and really good apps that happen to be in there. They love to tout that there's actually an app for everything that you would want to do. The problem is that a lot of them are just really junk apps that are copies of themselves, and so it's like if you wanted to have an app for, let's just say, the Caffeination podcast, all it does is pull down the podcast. And some people like that, but more often than not, those are the apps that don't get used, they get uninstalled, and you need to kind of to cut through the cruft, basically, for lack of a better term. So Apple is basically saying that unless you have more features, they're going to start removing your apps. Here is the problem with the biosphere that Apple has created in the App Store. They can basically disallow and pull apps off of your phone without you ever having to do anything. I'm not sure if this functionality exists in the Android store or not, but I do know that in the Android store, I don't have to actually go through the marketplace to install apps onto my phone, which I love the fact. And, you know, so I was doing some reading about something called Swipe, which is a way of entering text by moving your finger across the keyboard, dragging it from letter to letter. And I gotta say, for the common words and typing out really quick texts, it's really interesting. But they just released a beta for, I think, the iPhone and the Android marketplace as well, but I didn't have to go through the marketplace to do it. I could actually, just from viewing a link on my phone, click on something and it installed the application. So I thought that was fascinating. But so they're basically putting all of the people who are producing cookie cutter applications on notice. So if you're running a site and you were thinking about hiring somebody to create like a tiny little junk app, you might want to think twice about it. All right, moving right along, there's new pictures out of the Microsoft Courier. This is the dual screen tablet that Microsoft's working on. It's kind of like an ebook. Each side of this thing is actually the size of a 5x7 photo. It has a whole bunch of interesting specifications that are actually being put up there, but I don't know about this thing yet. I like the idea. I love the form factor, and I gotta tell you, this is probably more beautiful than anything Microsoft has put out as of yet. So this is probably going to be a real competitor to the iPad. I just hope that they don't go the same way that the iPad and the iPhone did and work on a proprietary store directly for it. And I hope it can run like a version of Windows that allows you to put whatever you need on there. All right, moving right along, Apple, this is another little thing for the iPad, which actually they have a street date for it now. It's going to be April 3rd, 2 days after April 1st, so you know it's not going to be a joke posting, but there was also an ad that appeared during the Oscars today, and they found Steve Jobs was actually going into the Oscars. That's probably why. there's product tie-ins. Everything Apple does is so... I'm not going to say contrived, but everything is so controlled that you know nothing happens by chance. So they are a marketing company first and foremost. I've always said that. And it's interesting what lengths they go to actually create the buzz around their products. So it's interesting. But one of apparently a Swedish news site called slashhat.se, which is a pretty funny name, actually sent an email directly to Steve Jobs and asked if the iPad was going to be able to tether to the iPhone. So basically you were going to be able to use your internet service from your iPhone on your iPad to get information. And a one-line response came back. It says, "No, sent from my iPhone." So I thought that was pretty funny. So there you go. You're not going to be able to tether the pad to the phone in the ionosphere. So there you go. I thought it was worth repeating. All right, next little thing we have up for you here. I have a lot of friends who bike at all different times during the year. And I know from the couple times where I've ventured out when it's incredibly cold, the fingers take a little bit of a beating when you're running around during the winter months. And that's mainly because it's breaking the wind right in front of your bike going down hills, going wherever you happen to be. Your knuckles are taking the brunt. And no gloves or mittens or anything really kind of take the sting out of the cold there. So the Barbra is a new device, which is an incredibly and blindingly simple technology. Basically, it puts a double-ended bag over the front of your handlebars that actually breaks the wind around your handlebars. And it doesn't look like it actually impedes the progress of your hands or the motion or anything like that. So it's not like a strange solution. It's just called, has a funny name, that's all. It's Safety Orange, so that you can be seen from far off, but it actually looks like it really does a great job. And the best part about it is that it's only $27 US. So you can take it for what it's worth, but it looks like an interesting little solution. The next little bright idea to come out, and yes, you can groan all you want, is a lighted set of gloves. This is from over at Unplugged.com. They're called multi-purpose mechanics gloves that actually have built-in LEDs on the pointer finger on each hand, so that while you're working around, wherever you happen to be, you have a constant light source that is directly there. I think this is a fantastic idea, and I can't believe that it has taken this long to actually come up with something like this, and they're only $23 from Amazon, so I wanted to pass it along because we like to share the awesome around here. Next little item, we're going kind of rapid fire here because there's so much cool stuff and we still wanted to kind of cull the episode down just a little bit, is a spiffy hidden antenna. I don't know how many of you out there don't have cable, but I'm pretty sure if you're using the OTA over-the-air antennas and the high def and all the stuff that's out there now, and you've already weathered the digital transition and you have the proper antenna and converters and all that happy stuff laying around, then you might have a ugly set of digital rabbit ears up on top of your computer or your TV or whatever you happen to be using. This is a TV antenna disguised as a picture frame, which is something I really thought was pretty cool. It actually has a connector if you happen to have a giant antenna outside your house, and it has a whole bunch of other stuff up there. Now, I haven't been able to figure out if the digital frame, if the frame is actually a digital frame, which would be kind of cool, but it's I think it might just be something you slip a little 4x6 picture into it. But it sits on top of your TV. It is its own antenna. It can wires directly into the TV, or it actually has a USB port that you can actually power up through. I thought this was pretty fantastic. It's only $40, which is roughly the price of a decent digital antenna anyway, so there you go, and here we are. And the last little thing that we have for you is a interesting $92 6-inch RII mini wireless keyboard. This is the perfect remote slash whatever for a media center PC if you have it hooked up to your computer. Basically, it's a 6-inch wide by 3-inch tall LED remote wireless keyboard. So it has all the functionality on there. It has a full QWERTY keyboard and a rather large candy bar style, including a trackpad on the far right with all the different buttons that you would need, and it has a laser pointer attached to it. So no matter what you happen to trying to be doing with this, if you're trying to present or do whatever, this thing has you covered. This is pretty cool, I got to admit. When you're sitting on the couch down in the caffeination layer and you're trying to play around with the media center that we're working on, the Linux Media Center, it's kind of irritating to sit there and go over with the keyboard and the mouse and try and do all the functions. So this would definitely find a loving home here in the caffeination layer. If somebody wanted to send me one to review, I would gladly do that as well, especially to see if it worked with Linux. So I have a couple little things that are actually standing in my way of actually having a full-on Media Center PC down here, and the one apparently is the TV that we have down here. I have all the correct cabling going to it for the visual aspect for it. Unfortunately, for the audio side, I need an optical out on the computer, and since it was a kind of a reclamation project, I don't have a PCI optical audio card in there, so I might have to find one and buy one and hope it has Linux drivers. So I'm doing a little bit of research before we kick it into real high gear around here, but as it is right now, surfing the internet on a gorgeous 32-inch screen is kind of crazy. All right, that about wraps it up here for the GeekCraft section of the Caffeination Podcast. We're going to dive right on into the food and the caffeinated bits right after this quick little announcement. Just reminding you, the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All the other shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational stuff. And everybody is listed over at www.techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. It's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network site, so you can find all the other episodes of the different shows that we listen to and that we like sharing content with. And last but most certainly not least, we are a proud piece of the Puzzle Piece production empire, so you can head on over to Puzzle Piece Pro to check out more about what that means. All right, diving into the food and caffeinated bits face first, we have a play with your food selection into using bacon for interesting things. This is a using bacon to create a model rocket. There's two gentlemen who actually decided to try and see if they could actually work it out. They have a fun little theme song and everything else strapped to it, so it's it's kind of funny. Unfortunately, they had an epic fail for the actual working bacon rocket. They weren't able to do it, but I give them points for even trying. They did happen to set off the smoke alarm in their house, so it's kind of funny about that as well.
Rocket. Bacon and rockets together at last. It's really, really tasty and it goes very fast. Bacon is great, there's only one way to top it, and that's to power bacon with the power of the rocket. Bacon and rocket trip!
I'm sorry, if you spend that much time working on your theme song for a bacon rocket, you have my vote for awesome link of the day. So you can head on over there and see the hilarity. It's over at gigolohee.com. So it's kind of funny. The next little thing that we have up for here is the horribly titled Carpuccino. It's a coffee-powered car. This car runs on... it's a design... attempt, and it actually runs on coffee. They said it basically uses 56 espressos a mile. It runs on a kilo of coffee for every 3 miles. That's an expensive ride. The funny thing is they built the Carpuccino into a Volkswagen Scirocco. So they're trying to drive from Manchester to London, and they're using only roasted coffee grounds as fuel. They're saying that the entire trip will cost them 1,760 espressos. So they're also going to need to make a stop every 60 miles to clean the coffee filters. It's going to take at least 10 hours to complete the journey. I think that's fantastic. The only funny thing about this is they're saying everything that they have is in... all the distances are in imperial measurements, so it's miles and everything like that, and, you know, even for the speed. But for the actual weight of the coffee, they're using the metric system. So I kind of think that somehow the translation just didn't make it through. But the Carpuccino is an interesting and horribly, horribly titled little project here. You gotta love the way that it actually looks. I mean, it's a really kind of gaudy old hatchback that they actually used, and it's entirely put together. Has a little boiler in the back, and if you'd really like to see how it works, you can head on over to Trend Hunter, where I have it linked up. Next little story that we have is a lot of people have been asking me, I don't know why this is, but I think some of the people that either follow the show or only listen to the things or see me on Facebook or whatever it happens to be, they're like, how can you possibly drink an espresso at night, you know, and then go to sleep? Well, caffeine doesn't affect me the way it does normal humans, let's just put it that way. I can drink coffee, go right to bed, and not have any problems. But the other thing is, people don't seem to take into consideration that the actual percentage of caffeine in an espresso is much higher than it is for a per ounce is much higher than it is for a regular cup of coffee. However, you're taking maybe a 1 or 2 ounce shot of espresso, so it's either 40 or 80 milligrams of caffeine, versus if you were to have an entire mug of coffee, it would probably be 130. So if you take it and you break it down by ounce, roughly per ounce, there's 16 or 17 milligrams of caffeine per ounce of regular coffee, whereas there's 40 per ounce of espresso. So it's all about volume, folks. It's all about volume. And in the terms of espresso, it's also all about quality. So if you really want good stuff and you know how to make it, espresso is where it is at. All right, the second to last little article we have up for you here is from over at MassaCoffeeHero.com. It's responding to the enemies of coffee. Now, before I get into that, I have to agree with Mass. There are so many people out there who feel the need to kind of either impose their worldview on you or... and it's more than just coffee. I don't think I've ever, you know, stopped somebody in the middle of a story and said, you know, I really can't believe that you drink that much coffee. Or I really can't believe that you're doing X, Y, or Z. I mean, especially related to coffee. and raising children. I don't know why people think they have the right to kind of step in and say, oh, I can't believe you're doing this. Why aren't you doing that? Don't you know that you should be doing this, or your kid shouldn't be doing that? And there's just so much judgmental junk that gets flown around with the different problems that are out there. I mean, you can accept it from your family. It's like, okay, everybody has an opinion. But beyond that, you're like, really? You spent your hard-earned time to lecture me about this? And it's really funny about what people consider vices. I don't consider coffee a vice. I consider it a necessity. I consider it a wonderful part of my day. And if you drink good coffee, it's a great exercise in awesome. But the funny thing is that Mass had a experience with somebody in high school, and I've seen kids like this. It's basically, the guy looked like a complete and total burnout, and he had a DARE sticker on his notebook, and you're looking at that, and the two things do not really mix. And it basically, the article boiled down to the fact that Mass asked this gentleman, says, why do you have the DARE sticker there? And the kid said, you shouldn't do drugs. Then he, after a long pause, he smiled and said, more for me. And Mass has taken that that attitude and strapped it into a coffee frame of mind. And I think I'm in a huge agreement with him on this. So I just wanted to pass it along because I thought it was fantastic. So you can rail against coffee all you want. You probably won't be listening to this podcast, but just remember, there's more for me, the more you complain. And then the last little thing that we have for you here at the Caffeination Podcast is a great little, I don't know why ice molds are in fashion right now, but I thought this was pretty funny. It's a giant pill-shaped ice mold, and it says the chill pill. So you're supposed to use it in whatever happy beverage that you use at the end of your night or the end of your long work week. So just keep this in mind, and hey, if you order it now, you have enough time to have it shipped to your house by Friday. So this is the chill pill. It has a embossed little thing that says chill pill in there, and you could take two and call me in the morning. I thought it was pretty funny, and they had the word scotch in the title, so I immediately paid attention. All right, that about wraps it up here for the Caffeination Podcast, number 413. It's interesting being up this high in numbers. We're heading on to 500. Who knows what's going to happen by the time we get there? We have an entire year before we make it that far, so it's going to be an interesting and fun ride. I got to tell you, I don't know what it is about recording late at night, but I've had to stop and start so many different times tonight, from the stupid iguana to the stupid dog and everything else. So I can't wait to finish this recording, get this thing up and out and into your ears so that you can enjoy it as well. Remember, if you have a access to a phone, you'd like to leave us an audio comment, you can do so at 215-240-1319, direct to voicemail. You can also add us at twitter.com/caffeination. You can go over and join our Facebook fan page. Just search for The Caffeination Podcast. All of the other wonderful ways to get the podcast are listed over at www.caffeination.com, and you can email me comments, feedback, suggestion, or hate mail, whatever you happen to have on your mind at that point in time, over to caffeination@gmail.com. Thank you ever so much for listening to today's episode, and stay caffeinated, people.